for me, where it all connects, where it all lands, where it all makes sense is in the margins of our community, our lived experience at Everyone Church and Everyone Village has been that when you dive into that wound, when you hunker down in that margin, you rub elbows with the Spirit of God. Like, actually. So I had, through a series of all sorts of unexpected life events, found myself as a young man entering the trade of professional logging. We had a stretch of really hard times with our crews where we were losing guys on the job. They were dying with logging accidents. Logging is a young person's game, and so my body was starting to give me signals of, you can't do this forever, you guy. I know you like it. And it took 5 years from that seminal prayer to me being led down the mountain. The admissions counselor I worked with at the time actually has become a good friend, and we're still connected to this day, which is really cool, and now we do projects in the community together. Here's a guy in midlife trying to improve his lot for him and his family, and he's got some unique circumstances. Let's just be open to whatever that is and warmly welcome that. So that was huge for me. And then because of Bushnell's amazing base of alumni and donors and supporters, they offered a very meaningful and sustainable financial aid package for my family and I, which made it all doable. There was one who was the first one to give me the confidence that a logger's tool belt would work well in ministry, and that was Dr. Terry O'Casey. So I go into his office, and he looks at me, and he says to me, do you know what you're doing with the rest of your life? And I'm like, I'm trying to figure that out. And he said, figure no more. I really, really think you should look at ministry hard. The way you're unpacking the text, the way you're writing your papers, the questions you ask, the way you describe your understanding of the text, he said, it's just unique and you should take a hard look at it. And I laughed my way out of that conversation, but that was the first seed that led to many more from all the other amazing staff and faculty here of, yeah, there's something here. But something I would have never imagined and never saw coming and still don't fully understand happened. I became friends with a small group of homeless people that lived on the intersection the church was on. That core group of guys became a family on that porch. We started a program with the City of Eugene Manager's Office and the Eugene Police Department to put structure to it. They were giving 2 hours every Saturday to community service, and we changed that neighborhood on a dime. This is a bigger wound than the one I jumped into on 18th and Chambers. This one doesn't even seem to have a bottom. God, do you want us to jump in? And God said, I'm already down there. If you want to run with me, you're going to have to jump in. It wasn't pretty and it wasn't easy, but it was getting a little better. The business leaders in West Eugene started saying, hey, for years and years and years, this crisis has slowly gotten worse. And the city and the county, I don't think they can fix it. There's some scrappy guy out in West Eugene with a group of wacky Christians changing the game and getting wins on the table. Let's get behind them. Check for $1,000. Pat on the back. Phone call. Keep it up. What do you need from me? I'll pay for the dumpster and the porta potty for this family unit. I'll pay for the dumpster and porta potty for this family unit. And then everything changed. In the last week of August of the summer of 21, I had gotten home from a vacation with my family. I went into work on Monday morning, getting back in the saddle, and I get a phone call from Arlen Rexius. Rexius is a long-time, multi-generation company in our community. They're considered an anchor to the vertebrae of private business here. And so I'm thinking he wants to give me a check for $1,000, or a lot of people didn't like what we were doing, and they weren't shy to tell us that neither, and so maybe he's going to chew me out, you know. And he says, get in my car. And we roll up to the steel gate, and he unlocks the gate and rolls it open, and we walk in, and it's just this giant 4-acre empty lot. There's nothing there. He turns around. He said, here you go, kid. Hands me the keys. It's all yours. Don't screw it up. For me, because of my logging background, my walk with the Lord is very visceral. It's very sense-oriented. I met God in creation, not in church. And that summer, I felt the movement, the brushings of the Holy Spirit on my elbows, on my back, as we're down in the dirt and the guts and the blood and the needles and the poop and the piss and the suffering and the meth and all of it, and the fentanyl, all of it. There he was. I mean, there he was.
Good morning. Who was he? Who was I talking about? Yeah, he was in all of that. It is great to be here this morning. We can throw that first slide up. That would be great. That 4-acre parcel is Everyone Village, which is in your neighborhood. It is, if you go down here and you're headed down to West 11th, you take a left at those storage units there, 13th. You go back in there and you cannot miss it. We have now just recently added some beautiful curb appeal to the resource center that marks the front of the property. There's a big map over there and a board that kind of shows you a plan from above of what the site looks like. And that's what happens out of that story. The space I was referring to, where we were down in the mud and the poop and the piss and all the stuff, was after COVID released. There was an explosion of folks living in rotted out RVs in West Eugene. You may have missed it entirely if you didn't get off the beaten path. Over 300 in this little area out here, completely gumming up everything. As I walked into that story, as I note in the video, I interact with the people living in the RVs, the worst abject human suffering I've ever seen with my naked eyeball. All of it. You think a horrible thing a human can do to a human, it was happening in those RVs in spades. Right here, a stone's throw away from here. In spades. Hundreds, thousands of people in that situation. The business owners they were parked in front of were dying on the vine. The shipping trucks could not get in and out because of the RVs on the curbs. They couldn't bring clients, new clients into town because of the needles and the garbage and the unsafety. Their workers didn't want to come to work because you had to step over really unsafe things to get into the business. And then in the middle of all of that was the city of Eugene's only response at the time, because they were caught off guard with the huge amount of growth and the very intense nature of that problem, was to throw park workers into the middle to try and like have a presence. I talked to those guys as well. You know what they said? We don't know what the heck's going on. Didn't sign up for this. Didn't train for this. Don't want to do it. Pretty unsafe. Not too happy with my job or my employer. So here is this situation right in our neighborhood, your neighborhood, where it was all falling apart. There was no justice happening. There was no sense of what justice could even look like in that scenario. I had a wonderful time this morning in the Bible study around justice, and it couldn't have lined up better with my message today. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for the whole linky-linky thing. And so all we could think of to do is what I mentioned in the video. We simply started moving into those spaces and meeting people for who they were, where they were at, no matter what that looked like, and taking care to want to help each and every person in that story. Not just the people in the RVs, but the business owners too. And not just the business owner, but the city workers too. And not just all three of those agents, but the city and county itself, who are just like this, pulling their hair out, going, we don't know what to do. It has gotten so far out of our control, we are kind of helpless right now. And then in the space, as I mentioned, who's moving around? God. And he's moving very powerfully and very palpably. You could feel, sense, touch, taste, all of it. Like I said, I encounter God very viscerally with my senses. It's not an academic pursuit for me. It is what I experience with my body, because I met God on the mountain as a logger, not in a church. I met God there, walked with him for a couple years before I ever set foot in a church in my entire life. And so here we are now, a couple years later, and I'm so excited to share with you what God continues to do out of that really, really hard space in our community. And you've probably all noticed we've gotten better in our community at figuring out how to manage this injustice of thousands of people. Eugene has the highest per capita rate of homelessness in the United States of America, and over 4,000 people still outside every night in our little town. And we have a little town comparatively to New York City and LA, who we're outdoing in this category per 100,000. By a lot. So, Everyone Village. Quick facts and figures to kind of give you a kind of framework before we dive into what's going on there and how you're a part of it, because you're in the neighborhood and we're doing this whole thing together already. So, it was established. I got that land, as I mentioned, from Arlen Rexius in late summer 21. On January 1st, 2022, Everyone Village officially opens as in partnership between Everyone Church, which is essentially me at this point, and the city of Eugene, who approved our ability to use the 4 acres in this way and also gave us some startup funding to get going. There are currently, if you went over there today, and I'm going to invite you all to come see us here at the end of my talk with you today, there are 70 tiny homes and 70 souls at Everyone Village that live there as they come off of the street directly. There is a full-time staff of 9, of which I am one. We have a 3,500 square foot resource center for the folks. We don't call our folks that we serve clients. We call them villagers. And there's also a workshop. There are over 30 plus community partners, y'all included, who make Everyone Village go every day forward in helping those amazing humans to get better and healthy and to experience justice in their lives within the very community that they call home. I will never forget a moment on that porch at 18th and Chambers. By the way, some of you may be familiar, the church story that is now being told in a new way is Westside Christian Church off of 18th and Chambers. If you're familiar, it is no longer there because it is now this. God repurposes everything every single time. And when we take our hands of control off, we often are surprised by how he chooses to repurpose what is his. And then we have 2 workforce development programs on site, which is a market garden, which creates 3 jobs for folks living at the village. And we have a recycling center, which creates 6 jobs for folks living at the village. It is a big, busy, full place. And if you are good on math, you'll notice that it has only been a couple years since we opened. And when we got there, as I mentioned in the video, there was nothing there. Not even utilities. And since then, all of this has come to life, and I can't wait for you guys to come visit. It is quite something to see. Some of you have seen it. There's a lot of God happening at Everyone Village in very unique and beautiful ways. So what I want to share with you now is kind of a little bit of the story of what's happening there and how it's happening there and how I and many people experience it. It is a kingdom of heaven on earth story. We're all aware that the kingdom of heaven on earth is here today, right now. It is us. It is this building. It is your home, right? It is a reflection of the kingdom to come, already here, inspiring more to come and meet the person that rules that kingdom, who is Jesus, our lovely and awesome and amazing shepherd, who does unbelievable things all the time. It's also a microcosm of what was talked about this morning. And we talked this morning in that group about the big, huge reality of justice and love and God happening in the Middle East. Everyone Village is the same story, just come way down to a fine tip point right here in our little neighborhood of Eugene. It's the same archetypal realities at play. And one thing that people come to the village and they're like, well, I heard you're a pastor, and I heard there's a church, and where's the Sunday, and where's this, and where's this, and that, and there's none of that. Everyone Village is a very different kind of church, but I would surmise to you, and I've heard many people come through that are theologians and otherwise say it's actually more like the church than any church I've ever seen. It would be like if you guys never left here. Like you lived here together and did every day, all day together. And what would that be like if the prayers turned into an intimate knowing of your individual wounds and hurts and pains, and then you lifted and held all of that together in everyday life? That's kind of a glimpse of the village as a very funky, beautiful kind of church. And out of the village is coming, for the folks that are there, for our 30 partners, for the many folks that are still waiting for a chance at the village, and I hope for you this morning, coming out of this story that, A, I just want to be very clear, I did not plan, I did not dream for, I did not hope for, I did not pray for. I did none of those things around the village. You heard. Logger guy. That's me. I spent 2 decades up in the mountains with very hard men doing very hard work and watching people get killed by that very hard work. It was so hard. And then only came down because I didn't want to be the next one. That's really the only reason. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, from that very important vignette in the video, we just simply saw the Spirit of God moving in hard spaces and didn't want to come up with our own plan or a strategy or a, hey, God, we come up with this church plant plan. What do you think? Should we do it? And God would have probably said, yeah, go ahead. I love churches. But instead, what we saw was oh, he's at work everywhere all the time, as we know. We saw him very powerfully at work in those RVs, and we said, huh, well, what if we just hop on board with what he's already up to? And that's what kind of creates the pathway out of RV land, is what I called it, into Everyone Village. If we could see the next slide back there, gentlemen, that would be great. So this is just a little bit of a flow chart we've created to help everyone understand what happens at the village very practically. We'll get into some of the bigger theological heart pieces, but this is the practical life at the village, certainly for someone who needs it. So you see in the bottom left-hand corner, someone sitting down. They're a little cut up and bruised. That's someone who is currently living on the streets of Eugene at night, fully exposed to everything you can possibly imagine. Weather is the least of most people's concerns on the street, though it's not one to be taken lightly this time of year. The first thing when someone arrives at Everyone Village and is set to become part of the village is they receive a cottage of hope. It's a little 8x16 tiny home built by high school students, and I'll tell that story here in a little bit. And the first thing that does for the soul is it creates a reconnection to community, because Everyone Village is a tiny community within our bigger community. It creates safety and security. Maslow's hierarchy of needs is not an obtuse affront to the gospel. It's actual real biology. If you're super hungry and hurt, you're not going to learn lessons and attend to math and figure things out until you get your belly full and your wounds are healed. That's just real, right? That's real. So that's the first thing that has to happen to a life there. They have to be given a safe place to belong where they can begin healing. And so right away we go to basic necessities because of that hierarchy of needs. You've got to have food to do anything else. As you guys know, air, 3 minutes. Without it, you're done. Food, 3 weeks. Without it, you're done. Water, 3 days. So these things are critical. So we restore them, provision. But we also believe, like you, that hope and belonging are actually basic necessities. Who here feels like you could do a good job at life and the hardness of the world and following the lead of the shepherd if you had no hope and no belonging? Anybody? I'll wait. Okay, I agree. I couldn't do it either. The systems of the world will tell you they're not basic necessities, and we're pushing back very strongly and saying actually they are. What you're going to start to pick up in the thread of what I'm telling you and little stories about the village and what's happening there is we have been given an opportunity as a core, as a story of the Lord, access into spaces stories of the Lord don't normally get access to. For example, the city of Eugene and Lane County and the state of Oregon don't come to your church and ask you for advice, right? I'm assuming they don't. They probably will never do that. They come to us and ask us for advice all the time. I equate it like this. You've heard, as you read through the gospel stories, and we heard some beautiful retellings of one this morning, that at different points in a life and at different points in history, Jesus means all sorts of different things to different people. Because if we look at our forests in the Northwest, we see God loves diversity. And then we look at the humans, even in just this tiny room, whoa, he's doubling down on diversity. It makes sense to me, and I'm sure to you, that if God is most prominently known in his expression as diversity itself, that he would want everything that's done to honor him to be wildly diverse as well, to match his creative thrust and preferences. So when I was getting going with that story you saw in the video and the beginnings of the village, this is what Jesus felt like to me. A blocking tight end. Football fans? Well, come on, more than that. Okay, let's be honest with each other. This is a safe space, right? So, blocking tight end JC, says Christ, right along the back, but above probably double zeros, I'm guessing. And it felt like he said this, hey kid, get on my hip and follow my blocks. And we did. And when we got through the line and we picked our head up, we're like, whoa, we're in City Hall. Whoa, we're on the unified command team for Lane County's response to housing and homeless crisis. Whoa, the state of Oregon's emergency management department is bringing the black SUV show to the village because we're the team that figured out how to do that really well. What the heck? And he led us into these spaces in beautiful ways so that we can begin sharing in those spaces, which largely are absent of any thought around kingdom of heaven on earth kind of stuff, And all of a sudden they were like, what do you think? And I said, kingdom of heaven on earth stuff. And they said, well, no one else has any ideas, so I guess we'll go with this one. Hey, I would like to start a village, I guess, with 4 acres. What else do you do with it? That's the no planning part. I could not really think of anything else. And the city said, yeah, who are you? Logger guy with ministry degree. That was not a plan. Also, by the video, you could tell, and I really don't even know what that means still. No, Gabe, we don't, what? No, social service executive directors, people with experience in social service, like people we know from the ecosystem, like that's who we do this kind of crap with, not you. And I said, okay, fine, I'll give them the land back. And they said, actually, we're really desperate, and so we would never do this, and if we ever get undesperate, we'll take it back, but since we don't have a choice, we will let you try. And all of a sudden, emailed to me was a contract for a lot of money from the city of Eugene, and on one side, the signature was Sarah Maderi, city of Eugene manager. On the other side was Pastor Gabe, Everyone Church. That contract was fundamentally huge, and that the city would never have done that if they were not so desperate coming out of the COVID and the crisis exploding. And I seem to recall, as I know you guys talk about in here at times, God repurposes everything, and he takes from Pharaoh to give to Moses. So I was like, I love your desperation. Give me the money. And the village opens in earnest. So then we get back to this wheel. Sorry for the rabbit trails. You'll learn that about me real quick. Once basic necessities are restored, including hope and belonging, we move up to healthcare, physical, mental, but we also believe that spiritual healthcare is a very important thing for a human life to flourish. Then we move to wraparound services. This is practical stuff humans need after the abuse of being homeless takes a toll on their bodies and minds. We have case management, counseling, drug and alcohol treatment, recovery groups, all sorts of supports and professionals that come into the village as part of that 30-plus partners that come and meet our folks where they're at the village and say, hey, where are you wounded? Where are you hurt? Where are you lacking? Where do you need a little bit of help? And they bring all that practical helps into place. And then we get down to workforce opportunity, because we believe something very powerfully at Everyone Village, that in order to flourish as a human being in the kingdom of heaven on earth, you must be using these for your own benefit and those around you. For most, it's a job. Doesn't have to be, but it's got to be something that you're doing with all that you are to create resource for yourself, and then to use whatever you're doing to create resource for yourself to bless those around you. This all results in the goal of Everyone Village, which is not to help the individual. That is not what we're about at Everyone Village. I'll tell you a little story here in a minute of how much we believe it's not about the person. It just isn't. It's about the community. So the goal of the human after they experience Everyone Village in full is they're regained flourishing, they're upright, they're moving forward, so that, this is the point of the village, they are once again growing and giving back to their community. That is the point. So when someone new moves into the village, I get to say, hey, Bob, it's nice to meet you. My name is Gabe. Kind of a big deal around here. I don't say that. And I am blessed to get to know you. I can't wait to help you. But by the way, this is not about you at all. And often the person who's wet and soaked and bedraggled and looking for help goes, what are you talking about? This is not about you. You being here, not about you at all. Not about me either. Well, then what is it about, Gabe? It's about our community flourishing, and it can only flourish those who are struggling to flourish once more. Think about the beautiful picture that you painted this morning of what can it look like in the Middle East if we figure this out? And start to figure it out and start to spread that figuring outness, right, amongst humans. It can look really cool. How I often bring civic-minded, secular thinking into the space is with the thumbprint analogy and the dam analogy. So the thumbprint analogy is this. Here in this room, and maybe there is, yeah, but maybe it's in here, disagrees with the science that says my thumbprint is mine and mine alone. It's the only one on the earth like it. Everyone's fingerprint is unique to them, right? Do we all assent to that or agree with that? Any dissenters on that? Okay, good. You shouldn't. It's science. And God is a God of science, right? So I tell people, if that is true about my thumbprint, how much more is that true about what's in here. So at Everyone Village, and maybe you guys here too, fundamentally believe that inside of every human as an image bearer of the King of the universe, there's a unique mark that's just for you that you got. And the point of that is not to keep it for yourself. It's to share it with everyone around you in your community, with your family, with your friends. So if we take folks and we move them out to the edges of the community and we kick them out, essentially, for all sorts of reasons, a lot of them is their own doings, of course, but never fundamentally just that. That's just too simple, right? And you have the moment. It's going to rain soon. It's going to get cold soon, right? We're going to be driving home after long days at work, dark early, and you can't wait. You got it.